Well, please do keep that second reading in front of us there. It's on page 1225. This is what we're going to be focusing on together. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this precious time of thinking about your word together. We pray that the Holy Spirit who inspired John to write these words would work in our hearts this morning. Please strengthen our faith and change our lives that we might be more like your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, we're continuing this morning our series in the book of 1 John. This is the first letter written by the same John who wrote John's Gospel. And the particular question which today's passage answers is this: how do we know that we know Jesus? How can we know that we have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? We get a sense of this question right at the start of our reading in chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if... Now, there is a difference, isn't there, between knowing something and knowing that you know it. So I don't want to give us nightmares, but imagine we all had a geography test tomorrow. You might know enough geography to pass the test, but still be up all night tossing and turning with anxiety. Now, that would be merely knowing. On the other hand, you might be confident that you knew enough geography, and really do, and so you get a good night's sleep and you're fresh for the test. That would be knowing that you know. Do you see what I mean? It's one thing to know, but we're thinking today about knowing that we know. And just as with geography tests, it applies also to knowing Christ. Now, there is nothing better in life than knowing Jesus. To have a real relationship with Jesus Christ is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But there are many people who are real Christian believers and who really do know Christ, and yet they're very anxious about whether they know him. They're very concerned about whether they have a real relationship with him. Actually, whether we're teenagers or adults, perhaps we can identify with that concern. Do I really know Jesus? Well, John's purpose in writing 1 John is to give his Christian readers confidence. He wants his Christian readers to have confidence that we do know Jesus. And there's no need to turn to it, but near the end of the letter, he explains his purpose in writing. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John says this: I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. See, it's that same theme of knowing. He wants his Christian readers to know that they have eternal life. In other words, that they know Jesus. And all through this letter, John gives us a number of signs, a number of marks of a real relationship with Christ. These are the signs which he sees in his Christian readers, but the signs which are not there in the false teachers who he goes on to warn them about, who are trying to lead them astray. Now, before we look at these signs of an authentic relationship with Christ, I want us to be really clear about John's purpose for them. They are intended to give Christians confidence. Now, it would be possible for us to use these signs in such a way that we would get ourselves very worked up and we'd all walk out of here this morning wondering if any of us actually knew Christ. We've already seen that's not John's purpose for these signs. The purpose is to give those who trust in Jesus confidence that we really know him. Well, with that in mind, we're going to see three signs of an authentic relationship with Christ. And the first one is actually one that we saw last week. A real relationship with Jesus causes us to confess our sins. I think we can have that up on the screen. A real relationship with Jesus causes us to confess our sins. Do you remember chapter 1, verse 9 from last week? If we confess our sins, he, that is God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, that is a lovely verse. And what it shows us is that the sign of having a real relationship with Jesus is not that we think we're sinless. And it's not that we think our sins don't matter. Rather, it's that we confess our sins to God, that we come to the cross where Jesus died for us, and we are cleansed, purified by him. Now, I'm not going to say any more about that, really. It's what we were thinking about last week. A real relationship with Jesus causes us to confess our sins. And then now, in today's passage, John gives us two further signs. A real relationship with Jesus causes us to obey his commands. Let's have a look at verses 3 to 6. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. So John is saying, if we claim to know Jesus, but we don't obey his word, we make ourselves liars. But on the other hand, the sign that we are in him, as he says, that we're united to Jesus by faith, the sign that we are in him is that we obey his commands and that we walk or live as Jesus did. Now, we could so easily use this sign to beat ourselves up. I could ask, has anyone here broken one of Jesus' commands this week in anything that you have thought, said, or done? And we would all say, yes. And then I'd say, oh dear, maybe none of us really know Jesus then. But we already know, don't we? That's not how John intends this sign to be used. No, he's not asking, do you ever sin? He knows that we do. What he's asking is, are there signs in your life of obedience to Jesus? And Christians, there are. Let me give an example. Jesus has commanded us to tell the truth. So do you try to be honest in your dealings with other people? Do you try to own up and tell people when you've got something wrong, even when that's embarrassing to you? And do you do that because you know that Jesus has commanded us to tell the truth? And when you mess up and lie, do you confess that to God? Well, Christians, the answer to those questions is yes. Not perfectly, but we do those things. And John is saying that obedience is a sign that you really know Christ. Well, here's another example. Jesus has commanded us to be generous. Now, none of us are perfectly generous. But do you give of your time to help other people? If you have resources, do you share them with others as you see their need? And do you do that because you know that Jesus has commanded us to be generous? Now, we don't do it perfectly, I know, but Christians, there are signs of that in our lives. What it boils down to is this. When we think of obeying Jesus' commands, do we say in our heart of hearts, why should I? Why should I obey him? Or do we say in our heart of hearts, yes, I ought to obey him. I don't obey him as I should, but there are signs in my life of obeying his commands. And Christians, if that's true of us, we should take great confidence. You see, naturally and left to ourselves, we all reject the idea that we should obey Jesus. We'll see as we go on in the letter that the false teachers John is warning about placed very little importance on obedience to Christ. So if we know that we ought to obey him, and there are signs of that obedience in our lives, it is actually a wonderfully encouraging sign that we have a real relationship with Christ. Now, if you're concerned and anxious, do I obey him enough? That's probably a sign that you do care about obeying Jesus, that you really do know him. If you asked a friend, they would probably be able to point out signs in your life of obedience to Jesus. It's actually the person who's complacent and not concerned about obeying Jesus who really needs to examine themselves. Well, there's a great encouragement for all of us in verse 5. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. Now, God's love there could refer to our love for God or to God's love for us. Actually, I think John has got both in mind. The way we show our love for God is not primarily with sentimental feelings and words, but it's by being careful to obey Jesus' commands. And the way we appreciate and grasp and know God's love for us is by obeying Jesus. The more we live as Jesus did, the more conscious we will be of God's gracious love for us. So what an encouragement to care about obeying Jesus' commands and to pray for his help to walk more and more as Jesus did. It's a sign that we truly know him. It's the way we show our love for God, and it's the way we grasp and appreciate God's love for us. A real relationship with Jesus causes us to confess our sins, to obey his commands, and then thirdly, to love our brothers. John says another mark of an authentic relationship with Christ is love in the Christian family for brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, of course, this third one is closely tied to the second, because one of Jesus' most famous commands was to love one another. And it's that command that John has in view all the way from verse 7 to 11. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. John is saying this command to love one another, it's both old and new. So it's old because we've had it since the times of Moses, and we've known the command to love one another since we first came to Christ. In that sense, it's old. But it's also new because in Jesus, it comes in a new way. Love one another as I have loved you, with that radical self-giving love. And it's new because as Jesus' light shines into our lives, he's enabling us to love one another in new and fresh ways the whole time. It's as old as the hills, and it's always fresh in Jesus and in us as his light shines into our lives. And John goes on to say that actually one of the signs that we are in the light, that we are in Jesus, is that we love our brothers and sisters, fellow Christians. Look at verses 9 to 11. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. Now, John said back in chapter 1, verse 5, that God is light. If anyone claims to be in God but hates the fellow Christian, well, they make themselves a liar. But whoever loves their fellow Christian, well, that's a sign that they truly are living in the light, living in God. Now, again, we could use this sign in such a way as to make us all despair. So I could ask you, have you ever thought or said anything wrong against a fellow Christian? And we would all say yes, and then I'd say, well, maybe we're all in the darkness then. But we know, don't we, that's not how John intends this sign to be used. He's not asking, do you perfectly love your brothers? He knows that we don't. No, he's asking, are there signs in your life of love for fellow Christians simply because they are fellow Christians? And believers, there are such signs in our lives. Now, it's not always easy to love other Christians. I think church is probably the only place where we have all different kinds of people with all different backgrounds, characters, and personalities coming together. And like in any family, we easily clash with each other. But do you find that you want to meet with fellow believers, to be encouraged by them and to encourage them? Do you find that you care about the needs of fellow believers simply because they also belong to Jesus? Well, brothers and sisters, I can see in our lives that we do. And that should give us great confidence that we really know Christ. That love for other Christians, it doesn't come naturally to us. It's a sign of the light and life of Jesus flowing into our lives.
And again, what an encouragement there is in verse 10 to do this more and more. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble.
As we love one another, we are living in the light, the truth, and the love of God. So a real relationship with Jesus, it causes us to confess our sins, to obey his commands, and to love our brothers.
John is saying that an authentic relationship with Christ shows in your life.
Now, I want to give an example from the world of gardening. And I do this with great hesitancy because, as some of you know, I know nothing at all about gardening. But bear with me. Imagine you had a branch in your garden and you wanted to know if this branch was connected to a beautiful shrub in the corner of the garden. And the problem being that that corner of the garden is overgrown with weeds, so you can't physically see if the branch is connected to the shrub or not. How would you know if that branch was joined to the shrub? Well, you would look at the branch, wouldn't you? And if you saw green leaves on the branch, if you saw shiny berries, if you saw living flowers on the branch, even if they were small and feeble, you would know that that branch was not dead, but connected to the shrub. And actually, so it is with us. How can we tell if we're connected to Jesus Christ, if we're united to him by faith? We can't physically see it, but we look at the branch. Are we confessing our sins? Are we obeying his commands? Are we loving our brothers? You see, those things are like the leaves, the flower, the berries. If they're there, however small and shriveled they may be, they're a sure sign that we are connected to Christ. Now, John knows his first readers, and he knows that flawed and sinful as they are, they do have those signs in their lives. And so he ends the passage on a final note of reassurance. Let's look at verses 12 to 14. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Now, dear children, is John's way actually of addressing all of his readers, young and old. And he says to them, your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. That is because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. It's so important to remember, we're not forgiven because of our obedience or love. No, we are forgiven because Jesus died on that cross as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sin. Our obedience and love, those are just the signs that we're really joined to Jesus by faith. Your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And John continues in verse 13, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. He addresses now those who are older. He encourages them that they have known God and Jesus Christ. That is, they've come to know him and still know him to this day. Then he says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. He's encouraging the younger ones now. They've overcome the devil. Just by coming to Jesus and connecting to him, they've escaped from the power of the evil one. And then John encourages them all again. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. What an encouraging message for those first readers to receive. Sinful and flawed as they were, John is saying to them, I can see these signs in your lives. And so I want you to know that your sins are forgiven because of Jesus, that you know the Father, and that you have overcome the evil one. And my prayer for this morning is that this will give us the same confidence. The paradox of this passage is that if we're feeling anxious and concerned, do I confess my sins enough? Do I obey sufficiently? Do I love other Christians enough? That's probably a sign that we do care about these things, and therefore that we probably don't need to be concerned. Remember, John is not asking, do you sin? He knows that we do. He's asking, are there signs in our lives of obedience to Jesus? Generally speaking, it's the person who feels casual and relaxed about these things
colleagues who perhaps should be concerned. But if we don't see these signs of a real relationship with Jesus in us, if we don't see them in us at all, what should we do? Well, the answer is not to summon up our strength and try harder to obey and love. The answer is actually to come to Jesus and let him transform us. If that branch in the garden seems dead, you don't start sticking leaves and berries and flowers onto it. No, you graft it into the shrub so that the life of the shrub starts to flow into it. If we don't see these signs in our lives, we need to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't do it without you. I need to be joined to you. I need your life, Jesus, to flow into me. But if we do see these signs in our lives, and brothers and sisters, I see them in our lives, however small and feeble they may be, well, we should rejoice and be excited. They are proof that we are really joined to Jesus. It's not a cause for pride, but for thanksgiving. So let's encourage each other. As we see these things in one another's lives, let's say, wow, that's a sign that you really know Jesus. I can see you're confessing your sin. You're trying to obey him. You're trying to love each other. You're really joined to Jesus. Praise God. And let's ask God to help us do these things more and more, to confess more quickly, to obey more carefully, to love more sincerely. These are the things to prize because they're the signs of an authentic relationship with Jesus. And they're the signs of his life, his light at work in us. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you that it is possible for us to know Jesus Christ, to have a living relationship with him. And we know this is possible not because of us and anything we do, but because of Jesus and because he died for our sins and rose again. Lord, we pray that we would notice these signs in our lives, that we really do know him and be encouraged by them. We pray for those who are perhaps very anxious and concerned about this. We pray that friends and others would be able to point out in their lives true signs of obedience and love. We also pray, Lord, for those in our church family who are looking into Christ. Help them to know that the answer is not to try and stick these things onto life, but to come to Jesus and be joined to him by faith. Amen.